The Wall at the Edge of the World by Damien Hunter and read by Martin Reeve for Saga Egmont. For Tony. Wherever the Roman conquers, there he dwells. Seneca. Chapter 1. Home Posting. It appears that you are behind on your drill, Surgeon Corvus. The camp optio bent to wave a records tablet in front of Posthumus's nose in the dusty surgeon's quarters next to the fortress hospital. A bugler on the mud and stone rampart sounded change of sentries, and a smell of burning cereal drifted lightly on the wind from numerous cook fires. The Roman fort at Palmyra on the emperor's service in Syria made ready for the morning. "I've been sewing up the results of yesterday's outing," Posthumus protested. "If you mean the one who got rolled on by his horse and the one who stabbed himself with his own pilum, they seem to be alive at the moment." The optio's stance indicated he had no intention of moving until some agreement was made. He had records to keep, and the medical officers were always trouble. Surgeons held rank equivalent to a centurion and were supposed to earn it with regular weapons drill and marches. They generally considered evading that an ongoing sport. "Tribune Balbinus is taking a patrol out this morning. You can catch up by going along. It's a lovely day."
"Won't that be nice?" Posthumus muttered, but he got up and collected his armour and let the optio tut at him because it needed polishing. He shrugged on his tunic and harness skirt, and then the segmented plates of his lorica, fiddling with his scarf until it kept the plates from rubbing his chest. He fastened his greaves, inspected his helmet for scorpions, and jammed it on his head. He picked up his sword and shield, a long flat oval bearing the wave insignia of the Ulpia Dacorum, and glared back at the optio. One of the few privileges of the medical corps was not having to wear armour except on the march or on parade. Tribune Balbinus was mounted and waiting at the Dexter Gate with three centuries of the Ulpia Dacorum who garrisoned the fort. Posthumus saluted him, fist to chest, and thought, "On a horse. Of course you are." Tribunes generally came from senatorial families, destined for careers in politics after a stint with the army. They were not career soldiers and not inclined to travel by foot. Balbinus gave the signal and the men lined up behind the standard-bearer, Posthumus beside the centurion of the first century. The optio was right. It was a nice day. A march would blow the dawn cobwebs out of his head, no doubt. They headed out of the gates at a standard pace, rising sun glinting off pilum points and the century standards. To one side they could admire the gardens and columned grandeur of Palmyra, and to the other, the lion-coloured hills of the Parthian Empire. After centuries of on-again, off-again warfare, Rome and Parthia were ostensibly at peace, a peace maintained by frequent border patrols on either side. The oasis city of Palmyra itself was prosperous. A stop on the Silk Road to the east, traded back and forth between Rome and the Parthian Empire for centuries, and generally content with either as long as no one was laying siege to the city. Once past the city, the land was drier, shading into desert hillside. Smaller tracks led through dusty scree upward from the stone-paved Roman road. One of the Palmyra patrol's functions was to discourage the bandits that preyed on travellers along the border. Goods from the east were a mainstay of Palmyra's trade and a sore temptation to the thieves of the hills. Tribune Balbinus signalled to the standard-bearers to turn the column southeast onto an unpaved track, and the centurion beside Posthumus swore, ducking out of line to trot beside the tribune's horse.